far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to review Space Dandies Season 2.
Definitely sounds better than Daft's wind tunnel mic.
Well, he got that professional mic of his to like show me up on that last recording we did in the summer, and he did sound better.
Oh, is that the mic he got where he like had some insulting message?
Yeah, and then we had a Twitter argument because I didn't know what the heck he was talking about, and he just assumed.
Yeah, all I saw was the message he had written.
And then I just told him I don't have time for his autistic rants, and then he gets like pissed at me and. And then we talked, like, CG was on there, and, like, we were talking for, like, 2 hours on a Saturday, because I think you were supposed to show up for some recording, which is the one we did later, or the one about the summer shows, which I have not done anything with that episode yet, and it's already fall.
Yeah, those shows are, like, 14 episodes in now.
It may be released one day. I don't know. We've got so much to talk about. Has the recording started?
Yeah, it has.
All right. So like, you got like a message on Skype from some lady trying to sell you sex or something?
Yeah, I wasn't sure who it was. So I just accepted it in case it was someone I knew. And they kept saying, hey, like each time I would log on and think we were going to record. And then Daft wouldn't show up. So I just ignored them until today. And then I finally responded. And then they started sending me messages. Well, let me just read them. Well, I just got out of the shower. You sound cute. Let's have some fun. My camera is turned on. Want to take a look? I'll show you, but don't tell anyone, okay? And then I blocked them and reported abuse.
How do you sound cute in a text chat?
All I had said was, hey. That's all I had typed.
Oh my gosh, you were just oozing with, like, testosterone and that those three little letters that all the bitches in the world want to suck your dick. John, that's all it takes. Like, these women, their self-esteem, they can't go any lower. And just by stupidly responding to them as a, like, not even seriously is all they need to, like, get out of the shower and show them that they got out of the shower to you.
I had gotten messages like that before on AIM, but...
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've gotten something like that on AIM, like, 2 or 3 years, and I always, like, just ignored them or blocked them or something.
That used to happen in the 2000s, but I think what happened is that they've moved over to Skype now, because nobody except us uses AIM anymore.
The porn industry is like, bah, they don't use, we don't, nobody uses AIM anymore, we gotta expand, we gotta go bigger and better now. Skype, that's where it's at. Go hit those young adult males with you coming out of the shower. And like this Jonah Jameson guy who runs like sleazy porn industry X or whatever. Anyways, yeah, well, Daphne isn't going to show up, so screw him.
Yeah, we've put this off for like 2 weeks waiting for him, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, forget that guy. But he'll be on a future episode one day or something. Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, we have him on an episode I haven't even put out, and that was 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
So that's our future episode with Daft for who knows how many months.
Yeah, so we were going to talk about Space Dandy with him, but he's not on. He also wanted to talk about Terror and Resonance, which is the other anime by the same creator, Watanabe, and he and I had watched that, and he really hated it. That's all I'll say about his opinion on that.
Well, then what's your opinion on the show, since you watched it with him?
Oh, well, it was probably not as bad as he is going to say when he reviews it, but I was not blown away by it. I mean, I definitely prefer Dandy. With Dandy, they've got a whole lot of, like, well, there's so much variety in it, and there's so much heart put into it. The animation is so great, and it's just a really fun show to watch, whereas the other show, it's like a sort of a boring procedural drama about terrorism, and it's just I couldn't get into it.
I was actually reading an article that Mike Toole wrote up on ANN, and he was mentioning how one of the people that worked on the show, at least in this last season, Toshio Hirata, who did storyboards for the Chameleonian episode, he passed away last month, or like actually back in August.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah.
He was the guy that worked on, like, I think a Unico movie and another kind of sort of semi-obscure but now kind of being known OVA called Bobby's Girl, I think.
I saw Unico on Magic Island last night, and it was storyboarded by Yoshiaki Kawajiri. I was very surprised when I saw that name in the credits.
Yeah, they still find work these days. Like, Hirata did Alakazam the Great, which is like he did animation for that back in the whenever that show came out. 60s
or 70s. I saw that too. That was he also a 60s did both, movie.
Yeah, he also did both Barefoot Gen movies, which I've heard good things about it, or at least I've heard about it.
Yeah, I saw that in my Japanese pop culture class, and it's like it's about World War II and the atomic bombing of Japan.
Yeah.
It's kind of dark, but it's not as dark as Grave of the Fireflies. It's a pretty good anime.
Yeah. I mean, he did animation direction on Twilight of the Cockroaches and directed Pet Shop of Horrors.
He's been getting work
like here and there, so.
Did you see the Halloween Dandy thing?
What, like the episode?
Well, let me find the link. It was something that someone posted in the chat. It was like one of the artists on Dandy, I guess, had put something out. It said like we hope to do more Dandy, and it was
I haven't seen anything that the creators have done after the show ended. So
yeah, there have been a couple of indications that they might be doing more. And
well, what was it like on the site of Studio Bones? They got all the shows that they've written off, and then Dandy's like quotations, like it may come back, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw Mason posted that.
I guess Mason did post that, huh?
Yeah, it was. I really hope that they do make more because it was a great show.
I guess for me, like. No, I mean, I enjoyed Dandy. It was fun, and like, you know, Watanabe had very little hand in this. He just kind of gave the show to like really new and older people who've worked on anime, you know, in the past, and just kind of gave him a hand to kind of do something different, just be as creative as possible. So like, it's really a lot of like the other people whose work that they put into the show, and he's just kind of spearheaded it or just produced it basically, which is interesting. Okay.
That's the thing I was referring to. I posted in the text channel.
I thought you couldn't use like websites like when you're running
post that in the show notes too, because it's
I'll do that.
It's something I'm sure our audience would like to see.
Let me make a note. Find space dandy Halloween image in / download folder. All right, I'm set. Now I know where to find it. I guess we can kind of do sort of a general consensus of how do we thought about this recent season of Space Dandy, which I got to say, I did like it a lot.
So you preferred this season to the previous one?
In a way I do. I didn't know if you guys felt that way or not.
I don't know. I mean, I really like both seasons. It seems like this season they were emphasizing more music and love-related plots. That seemed to be the...
And High School Musicals.
Yeah, High School Musical. That was one of the big music plots. And then there was the disco music plot. And what else was there?
And then starting a band, too.
Yeah, that one.
Another really good one.
And then for the love plots, there was the one where... Dandy and the alien receptionist chick. Yeah, that's right, Scarlet. Yeah. He went on like a fake date with her or something. That was one of the best episodes, I think.
Fucking trains, man. Fucking trains.
I will say this much about that episode. Like, I felt kind of heart-wrenched for Dandy. The same way I felt in one episode of Initial D when one of the side characters... tries to meet up with this one girl that like is a fellow street racer that races against Takumi or whatever. And like he races to go after her because he's just like, "Oh, dude, I lost her." And then like his manager at the gas station's like, "You got to go out there. What kind of man are you?" So he goes to pursue to go after her, and she was out there waiting for him. And she decides to peel out because she realized she's got ditched. And by the time he gets there, he just gets out of his car and gets on his knees and just has his moment of sadness. And I was like, watching that episode and just gripping my chest, I was like, "Oh my gosh, dude, that hurts."
Yeah,
it's that moment too late thing. And then, like with that episode with him and Scarlet, and with the train going by, they walk away from each other, but they're literally like 10 feet apart, and you're like, "Turn around!"
Yeah,
she's right there.
And it was like they had the scene before where they were like not sure if they wanted to go or not, and
yeah,
they really built it up, and then it. It has the, like this tragic ending there, but
so I can kind of go ahead and go through these episodes real quick, or just kind of touch upon them. But the first one is I Can't Be the Only One Baby, which is the one that had all the Dandy alternative universes coming together.
Oh, that was great. They had a whole lot of different Dandies in that one. Emo Dandy was, I think, one of the funniest.
At the very end, yeah. Or like Gloomy Dandy or whatever his official unofficial title is, but like it says on Wiki that the Dandy pulls out a string sticking out in front of his hair and drags them into an alternative dimension, and then they find themselves as more skilled alien hunters, and Honey is like some like hot like some bubbly hot girl like with pink hair, or maybe that might have been the truck driver one, and then like. They go to meet him, and then, like, Danny's like, "Honey?" Because she's not blonde or whatever. And she's, like, in a schoolgirl miniskirt thing. And then they got the other one where it's, like, truck driver Dandy freaking, you know, eastbound and down or whatever. Smokey and the Bandit Dandy universe.
And then isn't there one where Dandy looks like Char Aznable?
Yeah, that was the other one. And they had, like a giant, huge Dandy. Because they all go to Boobies, and like, I would have been interesting if they like booked the table, and they're like, you know, Dandy party of 300 million,
and he got
all fighting like, "That's mine, no, that's mine," or like, "I'm the one that like booked this," or whatever, "I'm the Dandy," or something like that.
And then there was one where they all looked like Ideon characters too, I remember. And
the Afro Dandy, that was it.
Yeah, he looked like Cosmo Yuki from Ideon, I think there was one where he looked like Goku, where he had like the flying nimbus, and he was doing like Michael Jackson sounds and stuff. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was. Like, I just remember, like, I don't remember the other characters because there's just so much there, but, yeah. Like, I remember the truck driver one, and then, like, the first one he goes to, and, like, the really big guy, really big Dandy, and then, of course, Gloomy Dandy.
There were a bunch of versions of Meow and QT as well, but those were not as memorable. There was one where I think
also
looked like a Meowth.
So. Yeah.
With the charm and stuff, but other than that, I don't remember many of them.
The next episode is there's Music in Darkness, Baby, which that's the one where, like, Danny thinks he got invited to go meet, like, hot alien chicks on that planet, and that's with, like, the ventriloquist, like, ukulele alien person that, like, traps people because they smile or something.
Oh. Yeah, he, like, turns them into statues, and he, like, puts them in his yard or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, like lawn gnome decor or whatever in front of his, like, house.
Is that like a Japanese myth or something? Because when I was watching that Unico movie, it had, like, almost the same plot where there's some guy who plays a flute, and then it turns people into, like, wooden puppets or something. Like, there must be, like, some Japanese fairy tale where playing an instrument turns people into immobile objects or something.
It might be. I actually haven't seen any of the Unico movies yet.
Yeah, there's, like, two of them. I ordered the other one on Amazon, so I'll have to watch that soon, too.
Oh, you ordered the ones from Discotech, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Nice. Yeah, but that one, it was like... What the heck was that?
Oh, sorry. When the poster I hung up earlier fell down.
Oh.
What poster was it?
I have a Dalek poster that I bought a few weeks ago. Oh, God.
It sounds like the poster fell, followed by, like, all the wall and the drywall that came with it. So now you got this hole in the wall, and you can probably see your, like, neighbors next door, and they probably look pretty pissed. Or just old-ass insulation. Hopefully it's not bad. No, they take out the ukulele guy. Like, they have, like, the wave or the river of time, and Danny's surfing on it. And they have, like, this whole point where, like, he's, like, getting sucked into the wave, but he's, like, losing his identity at the same time because there's, like, two of him in the same universe. And then he goes and basically, like, cold cocks the ukulele man in the face. And apparently that's how Dandy gets his ukulele or something. Because it says, like, after getting punched, he's consumed by flames. And he laments that a smile wouldn't look good on him, and then Dandy tells smiling that he's smiling right then, and then takes Jaxie's lately.
Yeah, that was a weird episode.
Yeah, because that's kind of the ones, like, I was like, it's interesting. It was, like, not one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was I think that might have been the weakest episode of the season.
It's that, and I think another one. There was a couple of them that I didn't like too much. But the next one was Slow and Steady Wins the Race, Baby, and that's the one that's directed and storyboard and written and all that by Masaaki Yuasa, or the guy who did Kick Heart. So, like, he's got that's the one with the really weird animation style, and they go to, like, they meet that fish who's, like, researching that, like, their planet's going to be burned up by the sun or something, because he's been on this one side of this planet for, like, a decade, and then he goes back to try to see his girlfriend or whatever, and she's already moved on, and he's just like, well, screw this, your planet's gonna get destroyed. And that was the same one where, like, they get there by using, like, a flashlight Danny bot that's able to teleport them into other dimensions or across, like, the galaxy or whatever.
Yeah,
that was the one where, like apparently Danny, like, teleports himself there, and then Meowth is, like, looking in the mirror with the flashlight, and he's looking at the flashlight like, huh, I wonder what this does, and he winds up pressing it, like, teleporting himself.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, dude. That was a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess what happened was he teleported, like, part of his body at first, didn't he, or something? I remember that in the commercial.
Like, yeah, because he was on that weird plane, and, like, the fish jumped off of it or something, and, like, oh, dude, it was weird looking, because, like, he got, like, his, I think, Danny's arm and his head sticking out, or I think just his head, and he's just like, hey, what's going on? Where am I? It's okay. Things will work itself out. It's just this disembodied head, like, sticking out of this planet. He's talking to, like, a fish. And then they wind up, like, eating the fish later because, like, oh, no, like, Meowth was hungry. Not Meowth, but...
Yeah, you called him that twice. That's funny.
Meow, man, I didn't know I said it the first time. Whatever, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
It's not like Meow is his friend name either.
Yeah, but,
his real name's like Meow, 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 or something.
But no, like, he tries to eat the fish, and the fish winds up betraying him, and then Meow's like, screw this, Danny, I'm getting that fish. And then they wind up eating it for dinner that night, because they ain't making no money. The next one was the High School Musical one, which is The Transfer Student is Dandy Baby.
This is one of the best ones, I think.
This is one of the best ones. Like, Danny goes to the high school to try to find himself a rare alien, and he gets in with, like, the nerdy kids, and he winds up, like, because, like, they have, like, the burly football players, and then they wind up singing, and I didn't know what to think of this episode, really. I was just like, oh my gosh, where are they going with this? What are they doing? I was like, they're really doing a High School Musical. I can't believe this. And it is so American in every way. Hot blonde cheerleader, the big dopey, big burly football jocks or whatever. And they're like, you can't do anything without singing in the school, man. Because I think South Park did an episode like that when they make fun of High School Musical or something.
Yeah, this is like, I think that the creators of Space Dandy must have just seen a bunch of American movies about high school and thought, well, this is what high school is like in America, and they decided to make it.
Followed by the American Pie movie series.
Yeah, what's great about this is that it's totally unlike any other anime high school episode, because most high school anime are just horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're just awful, and this is like a total satire of the genre, and it's really funny, and the musical numbers are entertaining, and it's like a good parody of the whole social caste system of American high schools, and it's just a really fun episode. And I like how they use the clip for it in the Toonami bumpers with Dandy saying, you've got something the other girls don't. Booty.
Booty. I'm like, Dandy, she's 17. Oh, dude. Yeah, that's the nerdy girl or whatever. Like, he hooks up with her because he's just like, I know there's a real alien here, but we gotta get you through high school the dandy way. Oh, but that's like a well-animated piece there. Like, that had to take a lot of work, and, like, it definitely shows. So, like, I'm really down with the people who worked on that episode, which are Taka, Aki, Wada, and I'm just looking on Wikipedia. So, but all this stuff is on Ben Ettinger's Anti-Pages website, since he's the other guy. He's the guy who's like, if you want to know everything about Space Dandy and how everybody connects with each other, I am the guy who knows all this information. So, but I like the fact that at the end of the episode, gosh, like, Danny was just like, man, high school was great, wasn't it, guys? That was a great year. And they're like, Danny, what are you talking about? We've been here for a week. Oh, dude, it's like, I watched 21 Jump Street yesterday on Blu-ray when I rented it. And I was super impressed with that movie. Like, if you get a chance to see it, like, do check it out. Like, I didn't think I was going to like it because I was like, oh, God, Jonah Hill's in it. But, like, it's really the other guy that I like more, like, Channing Tatum or whatever the heck his name is. But, like, there was a thing where they take a drug and, like, he's, like, in science class because he's, like, the wrong identity to go in there. And he's, like, the jock that doesn't need to be in there. So on this drug trip thing, he writes out, like, all this, like, technoblabble, like, science thing. And he's, like, all this conundrum stuff connects. And then, like, the camera pans to him throwing the marker behind him and his arms raised up saying, F you, science! And all he did with the markers was, like, write a million fours, like, in different colors on the whiteboard. And it was just the fact that he just, like, threw it up like he knew everything. And I literally, like, laughed for 5 minutes at that scene. You have to see it, dude.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie yet, but it's pretty popular. I should check it out, I guess.
Yeah, like, 22 Jump Street's supposed to come out pretty soon, so I do want to check that out.
I like how at the end of this episode, Dandy leaves the planet and he totally forgot why he came there. He's like, hey, aren't we forgetting something? Because they didn't
he's
get
like,
the alien.
No. Yeah, because they go there to try to find the alien that, like, blooms or whatever when they fall in love. And that was the nerdy girl he was with
yeah.
at the very end. And I was like, yeah, that's this show.
Yeah, they're like the worst alien hunters ever. They like never find aliens.
Just by sheer stupid luck. I mean, they try. Like in the next episode, they try. That's the one with the really big. That's the big fish is huge baby, and that's the one that's like another weirdly animated one. That's another one that's done by a guy called Kiyotaka Oshiyama.
Oh.
I'm not familiar with his stuff, but...
This is the one where CG kept going on about how the rating was TV-14L, and there was only one worse use of the word hell or something like that. He kept bringing that up, and he was like, oh, this is a kid's show in Japan. Why did they rate it like that?
But
I remember
Shut up, CG!
I remember he asked, like, some sort of teacher in Japan if their kids watch... Space Dandy, and they said no, and he was disappointed. Like, I don't think this show is doing quite as well in Japan as it should be, but hopefully they still make more.
Yeah, well, when I was in Japan, like, because we recorded a review of this, like, this was our first season. That was, like, back in March or April whenever we touched it. So, like, I didn't get to talk about, like, this so-called Space Dandy merchandise I found in Japan, and I only went to the one anime shop, which was, like, Animate or whatever, when I was in Kanazawa, and the only thing I saw there visibly that they were putting on the shelves that you didn't have to look for or dig for, well, two things. One, they had one of the first DVD out for like 70, 80 bucks, and I went, nope. And then the second thing was the booklet I got, You and Me.
Oh, yeah, that was
the
great.
The official fan book, which I actually went ahead and scanned it and put it up on my my Anime Yesteryear blog. As a RAR file, so I'll put a link for that on this podcast so people can look at the art book.
If anybody listening knows Japanese, please translate this thing. It's
yeah,
got like
that would be...
interviews and all sorts of interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, it's full of like line art, storyboards. They interview like the artist and the people who worked on the show. There's like just a wall of text there, and I might as well put it up on Naya whenever I can, like I did with the Go Nagai book that I put up there the last time, my last post, and that was one I got from the like a used bookstore in Japan, which was that was really cool.
Yeah,
so
I saw that too.
I'll have to do that eventually, because so, like there apparently that book has not been scanned or anything on Naya, and I don't think anybody else has touched it. So I'm like the first person, and so I need to get that out there so people know about it. Because now that Space Dandy is a hot thing on the internet, because the second OST came out like today on Naya, so like I went ahead and downloaded that, and that is so good.
Does it have all the disco songs and stuff?
Yes. Disco as hell, man. It is so good. Like you know that ending song that they play for the Toonami version on TV? Like they've got that full version on the second OST. So
oh, cool. I've only heard the. Well, how long is it on Toonami? It's only like 30 seconds, right?
Yeah. So this one's like 2.5, 3 minutes or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because that is a good song. And, I mean, all the themes in this are good. The opening, Viva Namida, and I like the American opening, too, which they only ran a few times. Everybody was all hysterical. They were like, it's not the Japanese opening. But they did eventually get the Japanese opening.
Yeah, it was like 5 or 6 episodes in the first season when they did that, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I still like the American one, I mean, so...
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, well, I don't really know any better. I haven't seen the Japanese opening, so this seems fine to me, but people online, they always... when they watch something on Toonami, they always get upset that it's not exactly the way they watched it on the internet through the leaked version or the fan subs or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But it's so much better watching it on Toonami than that way. You should just, I mean, when it leaked, I didn't watch the first episode. online, because it's going to be so much more enjoyable watching it with the Toonami bumps with the English voice acting. I mean,
and then us giving commentary on the AIM chat every Saturday night when we watched it. So
yeah,
it was like our little community group thing doing that. I mean,
that was a lot of fun seeing JT's thoughts and everything, and everybody was really enjoying it. You know, it's an event each week.
I mean, I guess in a sense, we're kind of like our own little anime club in a way, or like our own little Toonami club online. So,
yeah.
And we've got our handful of jerks and a-holes.
Like all clubs. That's just what happens in life.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just like the top three are like TY, Daft, and Viku whenever he decides to show up.
Yeah.
But, anyways, yeah, but the fish one, like, that was a really cool animated episode where, like, he's going after, like, this big fish that shows up every, like, 3,600 years and, like, is able to travel through light. So, like, and, like, the water that they're in, it looks like it's clear blue. Or, I mean, like, blue animated or whatever. But, like, he gets in and it's all muddy and stuff. So, like, it's just a different tone to it. And then he meets up with that old man fisherman because he's, like, determined. And the old man fisherman's like, oh, you'll never get that. You're not the only person going after this fish and everything. And then Danny's able to get all the fishermen together to grab the fish. And they don't really get it. But, I mean, it was – yeah, so the thing escapes in the blue comet that comes around, you know, once every 3 millennia or whatever. But, I mean, Danny survives. So – I mean, that was an interesting episode. I mean, like, it's not as entertaining, but, like, visually it's, like, so interesting. I think it might be one of the most interesting ones on this current season.
That was kind of a boring episode, but it did look unique, that's for sure. Has the director of that done any other anime?
I'm not familiar with the name, so it might be someone that either, like, was given the reins by Watanabe on this, or has done other things. I guess I can just kind of Google his name real quick.
Do you know if Watanabe himself actually did any episodes of this?
I know he's done a little bit of it, but that's about it. Yeah, this guy, Oshiyama, looks like a new guy. So
okay,
he worked on the new Doriyama show. Or Doraemon.
Oh, cool.
He did key animation for Evangelion 2.0. Did key animation for episode 3 of Gurren Lagann. So a lot of this stuff isn't really older than like 10 years or something. And like, yeah, so like season 2, he's credited for doing the script, storyboard, episode direction, animation director, alien design team for episodes 6, 7, and 10 of the first season. So he's been around on this On Space Dandy season 2.
Okay.
And even in the first season as well. So, because these are people that I think like Watanabe actually like handpicked to work on this. So,
yeah.
I mean, he did key animation for Full Metal Alchemist. He worked on the Wind Rises movie, which is,
wow,
I guess, Miyazaki's official last anime ever for forever, because he's now officially retired and will never come out of retirement ever again.
Yeah, and where would he
go to?
Studio
Ghibli's gone now, so
yeah, it's sad, but that's I guess it's for real this time. I mean, he's done this before, but I mean, with The Wind Rises, it's very melancholy movie to go out on, but I guess that's just what he wanted to be his final vision. It is very well made, and it's interesting to see that this guy was involved with that.
Yeah, I know. I think A&N Cast talked about the Wind Rises movie. I think it might have been with Carl Horn. And, like, it's based on a book, and it's done completely differently than how Miyazaki interpreted it and everything. Because the book was written, like, you know, right after World War II or something.
Oh.
Or maybe right before World War II. So that's kind of interesting that Miyazaki would take this on as his final role. Final role and kind of like change the character a little bit.
Yeah, I think it would have had to have been after, because a lot of the movie takes place during World War II.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it's about the guy who designed the Mitsubishi Zeros and everything, so.
Yeah.
But I'm still a World War II buff, so like I definitely would check it out.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I know it comes out later in America this year, like on home video. So
yeah, I saw it in theaters. It was magnificent. I always see anime movies in theaters if I can. But okay. Unfortunately, I missed Ava 3 when they had it in theaters here because it was conflicting with my classes. But I will see it on Blu-ray whenever Funny finally redubs it. I mean, they're taking forever.
Whenever that's coming out, my brother and I are like, my brother's like, dude, we got to hook up and get wings and get pizza and just make an evening of watching Evangelion 3.0 because we did that with 2.2. So, yeah. And that was over 3 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long.
At this point, I'm starting to want to just pirate the damn thing. I mean, usually I don't do that, but Funny is taking ages to, I mean, I heard they had to redub the whole script because Ono just
didn't
like it. Yeah, what would they have done that was so bad? Usually Funny is pretty damn faithful these days.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know what's up with Ono. I mean, he freaking directed Ono, and no one knew what was up with Ono.
And he approved the old ADV dub. It's not like that was, like, super accurate or great dub or anything.
Well, I mean, like, super accurate, no. And in its own charm, it is kind of a good dub in a way. It's got its own charm.
It does have an appeal, but if you want it to be perfect or whatever, like Ono seems to want with the new dub, you know, it's like, maybe he's getting to be more of a perfectionist over time or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's just getting old and cranky.
It could be.
I think that's it. He didn't get the right Kamen Rider figure for that day, so he's like, bah, just redub this damn effing thing. I don't care.
When is the fourth one coming out in Japan?
I think probably next year, maybe. I don't know.
There was one point in time when they were saying the third and fourth movie were going to be released
simultaneously or something. That didn't freaking happen.
Yeah, that didn't happen at all. They happened years apart. It's like, why did they even say that? It was weird.
I don't know. I think we need to get back on Dandy a little bit.
You're right, we do.
No, the next one is Gallant Space Gentleman Baby, and that's the one where Honey is kidnapped by Dr. Jill after leaving a pro wrestling match. And then Dandy wants to go after a Cloudodian as like a rare alien. And then apparently the Cloudodian, who's voiced by Vic Minagana, which, again, this is typecast very well to the type of person I guess that he really is, or strongly a lot of people believe that he is, like me, where he's basically this, like, bachelor dude that lives up in the clouds and, like, takes lonely women for love or something.
That's what he does with his Risen Bull Risers or whatever the hell they're called.
Risen Bull Rangers.
Yeah,
Risen Bull Risers. That's how he is with underage girls or whatever, hugging them in conventions and
taking them to his hotel room.
Anyways, I've already explained that story several times in past podcasts. So if anybody wants to know that story, just like Google or search on our site for Vic Minagna, and one of those episodes will have me explain that story for the fifth or sixth time.
Yeah.
So anyways, like, yeah, they go to the castle because it's apparently, let me see. Dr. Jell tries to scan Honey. Oh, yeah, so Honey is, like, captured by Dr. Jell, and then she reveals that she's half Cloudodian. And and at the same time, like, Dandy's up there, goes up to,
doesn't Scarlet get kidnapped by the cloud guy?
Yeah, she gets kidnapped because he hosts, like, this, like, alien singles thing in some hotel, and then Dandy shows up, he's like, free grub, I don't care. Like, what's all these women? Don't care. There's a lot of good food here because we are that poor.
Yeah.
But he's able to go to the castle and, like, you know, get with Scarlet, who's, like, Scarlet's just drinking her life away because she's that depressed or whatever. And that's kind of when we get the first depiction that, like, she's kind of probably has a little bit of a crush or something towards Dandy, even if she is a little bit inebriated at the time.
Yeah. I like how they developed this plot over the season, because even though most of the story is self-contained on this show, there is a little bit of character development, so it's interesting to see the way they develop Scarlet.
Yeah, because, like, we'll get to the other episode later too, But like they get out of the castle, and then Honey's reunited with her brother, and then they wind up just going their separate ways or whatever. And so that's like the end of that episode.
Yeah.
Like because Dr. Jill attacks them for some reason. Oh. I'm looking at the Wikipedia, but I don't want to sit here and just like blah, 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 blah. Not. That's too boring.
He's always attacking them because he wants to, like Dandy, because Dandy has those particles or whatever, right?
Yeah, that we get revealed later in the last episode. We find out why he gets captured and everything, but
yeah,
we'll get to that. The next one is probably one of the funnest ones, and that's Rock and Roll Dandy Baby, when Johnny on Bosch is the rock star by the name of Johnny, the commander in chief of the Jai Crow Empire, who's like this general and he's just like, dude, I want to start a band. And then Dandy, you're that guy. And he's completely typecast because he's actually going to be at Banzai Con this weekend. And he's actually going to be performing Friday with that band Eye Shield, and I'm just going to show up Saturday. So I don't know if I'm going to go to his panels or not. I just don't care. I'm sure I'll see him around or whatever. So anyways, JYB and Dandy get together to start a band, and they go through all like the issues of starting a band and everything. I know in the Mike Tool column, he made a callback to comparing this episode to the OVA that we reviewed a year ago called Toy. I'm sure you remember that, John.
Yes, I do.
So that's very musically inclined and everything. So it's probably a nice little nod to that, and I can kind of see it. Yeah, but it has them. They named the band called Dropkicks with K-I-X at the end. So, like, Danny's a singer, Johnny's the guitarist and everything, and then Meow is on bass and QT's the drummer. And so then they're able to get popped because they're at some sort of, like, hole-in-the-wall dive bar, and then, like, they get in a fight on stage. And that gets them to go viral, so then they get, like, sponsors or whatever to play at this huge gig in, like, the middle of this, like, stadium or whatever. And of course, like, Johnny's not there because he's got to do his other main job, piloting the space battleship Edeon against like whatever aliens or whatever. And then he's just like, screw this, I gotta go where my heart goes. And that was the point where like Dandy was out there trying to save the show, and they even use that as a promo where he's like out there grabbing the mic going,
oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and then like he crashes into like the Johnny crashes into the ceiling or whatever, the stadium, and that's when they play. And they're both, like, prima donnas trying to hog the stage. And, like, Danny's – I remember him on the ground, like, dry humping his abs against the crowd or whatever. Like, I remember distinctly that. And then everything just kind of blows up at the end. All right, so let's see. Army's insured to make – so they play their last thing. And that's able to lead to a succession of the hostiles between the two empires for some reason. So everything works out in the end. And I kind of like the dub singing to this too. So like with Ian Sinclair being the voice of Dandy doing this. Because like that dub version of that song was like up on YouTube the next day.
Yeah, dub Dandy is just great. He's I love that voice actor.
Okay, so the next one was A World With No Sadness, Baby. And this is the one that had Shinichiro Watanabe actually do the writing for it. Let me get back to where was I?
This is all the right one now. Where Dandy is dead?
Yeah, that's the other one I didn't like so much. Because it says like, an unfortunate encounter with Dark Nebula maroons Dandy on a mysterious planet. And then they claim that he's dead, but then they say that, like, there's no sadness that exists on here, but then he argues that if you're happy all the time, then there must be sadness. And then they get kind of brain scrambled on that or something. Like, yeah. It's just a lot of standing around and not doing much, but that's, like, that psychological kind of episode thing.
Yeah, they're trying to be deep with this one, I guess. I mean, it does show that they've got, like, a lot of heart put into this show. They've really thought through the characters and stuff, and Dandy's motivations for why he acts the way he does, and, like, it seems like he's really just living life for pleasure, and he thinks that, you know, boobies is more important than being God, as we see in the last episode. But
oh yeah, but amen to that.
But yeah, I mean, this was not one of the most enjoyable episodes, but they all have their own purpose in the show, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not like there's not like an absolutely wretched, horrible episode in any episode we've seen so far. But there's just the ones that you really like, and the ones that are interesting, and you can understand how it's interesting and how it's done, and how they kind of why they went for it. But at the same time, it's on your own personal taste if you like it or not.
Right.
So, you know, for us, and especially this speaks for JT highly, we like all the stupid actiony stuff because that's just as entertaining as crap.
Yeah.
So. Well, then again, JT's the person that likes the filler episodes of Bleach or whatever when it involves school people.
Yeah, he loves filler.
I don't know.
He has a strange taste, that's for sure.
Indeed. So then after that one is the one where we're all fools, so let's dance, baby. That's the dancing disco one where, like, they run into the they go to like one giant dance place, which it says that Danny and the crew go to Planet Greece, probably not a mention to that movie called Greece, which is about singing and dancing, and they for a legendary party in hopes of winning a contest with the reward of being like 100 million wulongs. And they find themselves in a ghost town, and the ghost town was like people, like it was hopping back in the 70s era of space or whatever, and so they try to like train Danny up to dance in this. Let's see, it says that one of the residents of Planet Greece hopes that the contest might bring the attraction of a rare species of alien called the dance singing in.
Is that the guy who grabs Dandy's ass?
That was the old guy. Like, I think it might have. I think the dance singing end is the Afro dude, which it's the alien called Tom Travolta.
Yeah, they were definitely going for Greece with this, because I mean, between the planet,
or whatever,
between the
yeah.
planet name and then John Travolta, it's like they're going
Saturday
all out.
Saturday Night Fever, definitely. Yeah,
all out 70s with this episode. That's why it's so fun.
Oh yeah, dude, they get into it. Yeah, because apparently with all their dancing, it winds up like it causes a big bang that destroys the universe. And of course, the subplot, Dr. Jill and the bee guy, his assistant, contemplate on their role of pursuing Dandy. Oh, dude. This is one of the fun ones where they just did like, let's just do whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, this episode single-handedly saved Toonami that night, because after that it was Attack on Titan marathon the whole night. But this episode alone made that night worth watching Toonami.
Oh, yeah. And then the next one was Lovers of Trendy Baby, and that's the one where Scarlet hires Danny to be her stand-in boyfriend to make her other boyfriend jealous. And they call him Dolph, and I think it's supposed to be a reference to Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he's, like, piloting this, like, Gundam-ish mech, and he's, like, stalking her. And so they basically, like, you know, date for a few days because she knows she's being followed by him. And like, everything's kind of going wrong because, like, at the beach, like, Dandy's buried Scarlet or whatever. And then, like, he's hitting on, like, every babe there, and she starts chasing after him and all this other stuff. And then he winds up blowing up, like, her little, like, house, like, trying to, like, stop a bug or whatever, like a giant alien cockroach. And then they just start kind of like getting to know each other and being comfortable, and they have like some crazy taste in like some like B movie action or whatever, or action movie. And then
wasn't it like he wanted to watch Chuck Norris Karate Commandos with her?
Something of the equivalent of that in the future, yeah.
Yeah, because they were talking about Chuck Norris movies. I remember
Chuck Norris ish movies. Yeah, It might have been Karate Commandos of the sort or something. Yeah, but that one, it was the fact that, like, in order for Scarlet not to lead on Dolph Lundgren, the mech pilot, Federation mech pilot, like, Danny has, like, after punching him out because he's going insane and he's obsessive, then they wind up kissing, and that just, like, sets the dude, like, to go overboard and just fly out of there. And book it. And then that's when the thing we got to, like, talking about, like, you know, they kind of sort of end their contract date agreement sort of thing, but then they're kind of like in their own little like areas, just like moping and everything and just feeling really sad that they're not with each other. And then like they try to meet up at the bar and she writes his name on the table and everything, and he gets there too late with the movie, and that's when they had the train go by and they didn't see each other, and I'm just like, oh, come freaking on.
Yeah.
So this is actually probably one of my personal favorite ones.
Yeah, this is a good one.
The next one was the another dimensional tail baby. Oh, this is the four-dimensional girlfriend named Catherine.
Oh, this is a weird as hell episode.
Yeah, this one was pretty crazy because then it's kind of reminds me of the episode of Futurama when like the Nintendoids like invade Earth, and like Fry has to play like Galaga or whatever. Or that other arcade game that's kind of like it. So it's like these, like, it's very two-dimensional and, like, video game-ish, like Atari graphics, like, but a universe. And if you get sucked in, you're, like, an Atari graphic for the rest of your life or something.
Well, it also kind of reminds me there was another Futurama episode within the Comedy Central seasons where they end up in a two-dimensional universe.
I think I remember seeing that episode. Yeah, I do remember that episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this one, the four-dimensional girl has like, she was dating Dandy, and then she was dating someone else, and he was what, two or one dimensional or something.
He was two dimensional for her.
Yeah.
Da-da-ching.
And then the boobies waitress is like, oh, he's a prince. I've got to meet him. And then she's like, oh no, he's a rectangle.
Oh yeah, she was like, he's a prince, wow. That was Honey, I think, and like, yeah, some other girl or something.
Yeah, it was Honey.
Yeah, it was interesting because he's got like these scissors that's able to cut through, like, because the universe is there, but they wind up like folding it like it's a giant like piece of paper or newspaper. So then Danny gets out a pair of like dimensional cutting scissors to hack his way through or cut his way through these like sections of the paper of the universe, and so they're able to like see the king, and he's like a yellow block with like a crown on top of him or whatever. And that's the one where like because Dr. Jell and like his assistant are like stuck in there, so like they have this like side scrolling like shump game or whatever to get past them and everything, which is interesting. And then it goes to this like one dimensional universe where they're just like a bunch of squiggly lines, and then it just like goes to white. And then after that is another one which is called Dandy's Day in Court, Baby.
Oh, we're almost at the end. This is like the second to last one.
Yeah, this is the one where like Danny's charged with murder, and then it winds up like QT or the Meow was like tweeting the entire time, and then like these bunch of these like punk kids are the ones who did it. It's, yeah, kind of like 12 Angry Man, the anime or something like that.
Yeah, Dandy was like sulking the whole episode, or so we thought. And then at the end, it turns out like, he was just asleep. Like,
yeah, he was like in this like sad, depressed state or whatever. Like he's like totally guilty of this crime. And at the very end, he just like stretches. He's like, man, that was a good nap. He's like, where am I?
Yeah, that was funny.
And then they get out, and then it's like Dr. Jell's Harvey waiting for them.
That kid was fucked up. He was, like, going crazy on his Twitter. He posted, like, kill, like, a million times. And then he was, like, strangling the other kid in the court.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I guess that's the face of Gamergate or something. I don't know.
Oh, really? Is that what it was supposed to be?
No. This was designed, like, before Gamergate came on the scene. But that's, like, summing up, like, social networking or Twitter, like, in a nutshell, especially with, like, the feminist movement. Maybe they saw, like, how I was, like, being treated by feminists, and, like, holy crap, we gotta see this. We see this guy struggle, so then we must animate this into an anime somehow. And Space Dandy is my voice. So thank
wasn't,
you.
Wasn't there some weird thing, like, the kid shot the ball, like, millions of planets away using some particles or something crazy?
Something like that, yeah, because they were trying to get that on Dandy, and like, why was there all this residue on the ball when he was there picking it up or whatever? And then Danny's innocent because the boxer guy was like a sleeper, like just in a concussion. They thought he was dead. Yeah. It was something like that.
Yeah, and there was something like the wife was in on it, or so they thought, but then it turns out she wasn't, or some weird thing like that. I don't know.
Yeah. You killed your husband because he's got a giant insurance policy because he's a former boxer, or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, the next episode was a better.
Yeah, that's the finale one where Dr. Gel does capture Space Danny, and he's got some sort of kind of material in him, and that's when we know that his assistant is like working for the other Empire with Johnny on Bosch or whatever. He's like the spy. And then, of course, like it's up to the Aloha or the crew to go rescue Danny, and that's including like Scarlet and Honey and everything, because it's like, yeah, he's totally worth rescuing. And
what's the name of the assistant guy that looks like the you know the
cucumber,
the cop that smokes pot in 12-Ounce Mouse, the blue blob kind of character.
Dude, I don't even remember that freaking show. I just know like.
He looks
I never
a lot
watched
like
much
him.
Of it.
Basically, he looks like him, where he's just like a blob-shaped face, you know?
But yeah,
what was his name? Do you remember the assistant? Because it
turns
out he's like the main villain.
They call him B at the end, because he's the one that like betrays Dr. Gel.
Yeah, because he like shoots Gel, and then Gel turns out to be on Dandy's side or something. Like, he helps Dandy as he's dying or something. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's weird, because he spends the whole show trying to screw over Dandy.
Yeah. But then also, JYB, the space commander, goes and, like, meets up with the Gogo Empire's, like, Flaming Skull Inferno cop leader. And, I think they have, like, a battle or something, or he explains that JYB... about how, like, no, Danny's not here or whatever, and you'll never capture him or something like that. And then, like, they wind up, like, morphing. This is, like, when they, like, threw everything against the wall and just, like, if it sticks and doesn't, whatever, we're doing this. And that's when they get, like, the connection to the Empire State Building or Lady Liberty's head to, like, the Lady Liberty's body spaceship thing to take out, like, deterrents or whatever to go after B. And then like, apparently Dandy's will to survive is seeing Honey's panties or like her thong riding up, and he's like, that booty.
Yeah, I remember that. That was funny.
And then like everything explodes, and then like the narrator is the one who's like considered God of the universe. And then he's just like, Dandy, you're chosen to take my place for the next 4 or 5 million billion years. And Dandy's just like, F that, is like freaking like football punts the galactic god chair into oblivion. They're like, Danny, you can't do that. No. And then like it just the universe just resets itself like 4 billion years later. And that's the end of the show.
Yeah, they show the first scene of the first episode again, where he's talking with QT about the breasts versus asses, and then he like says, wait a sec, I feel like I've got deja vu or something, and then it just ends.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Except for in this universe, he's now into legs.
Yeah, that was a hell of a show, and I hope they make more. They were talking about maybe making a movie, but I want another season.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I mean, for Toonami, this was the longest anime they funded, I think, because Big O Season 2 was only 13 episodes, and
yeah,
it ended up airing on Adult Swim anyway.
Well, IGPX was 26 episodes as well.
Well, that's true, but they didn't get to air all 26 until, like, years later. because they ended up putting it on Friday nights, a few episodes from the end. But luckily, now that they're on Adult Swim, they don't do that crap anymore. But, I mean, I guess what they do now is not that much better, but at least they did air all of Batman when they lost the rights, for instance. They just did, like, a last-minute marathon.
Yeah. Or they had to write that show off or whatever.
Yeah. It's not really their fault. It's Cartoon Network's fault. That's usually the case with their bad scheduling choices. It's things beyond their control a lot of the time. Like, they wrote off Symbionic Titan also, and Clone
Wars.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they aired that two or three times before, like, they took it off the air. So, like, that's...
Yeah.
And if they wrote it off, there's, I guess there's no way that's coming out on DVD or anything. Because, like, they haven't even done anything with the other Omegas XLR, because they wrote that off, like, years ago.
Yeah, I just really hope they don't write off Samurai Jack next year. Because that's the only American cartoon left on Toonami. And it's by far the best fitting one that they have, I think.
Samurai Jack has been released on DVD, I guess, a few times. I don't know if it's been released recently, but, like, I guess it's still kind of affordable. But if they write that off, then, like, you can expect the prices to go up, because then people know it's never going to be licensed.
Yeah, I do have it on DVD, the whole series.
I think my brother has all of it on DVD, too. So, I mean, but these are, like, the sets they released, like, years ago.
Yeah, it's old DVDs. But I also have DVD RWs of it from when it was airing on Cartoon Network.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah. But I just wanted to be able to stay on the block, because they need some American cartoon on there. It's like, a lot of the time people think that Toonami is just an anime block, because most of what they air is anime. But that's not... Their mission is to just air anime. It just happens that the American action cartoon industry is in a pitiful state at the moment, and there's hardly anything they can get that's American. And most of the shows that they got, you know, they always get written off. Like Thundercats, they had that written off too, I think.
Oh wow!
When they aired that only like 1.5 times, and they had to end it mid run with Lion-O dead. I remember. So.
And I think DeMarco has implied that they've basically written off Young Justice and Green Lantern, so those are out of the question.
Yeah, because some people were asking them to air those, and they always said no, and now
we know a reason why.
Yeah, I suspect they've written off Secret Saturdays and Generator Rex also, because those aren't on Boomerang anymore. And and it seems that they want to get rid of all of their action cartoons, except Samurai Jack, fortunately. And I guess they still have Ben 10 also.
Well, they're burning that off now, so...
Yeah, they'll probably get rid of that next year. It's a shame. I don't know why the hell Hasbro went to Cartoon Network with this new Transformers series, because they should know by now that they're not going to treat it well. I mean, don't they remember how they burned off Cybertron at 6 a.m.? It's like they've always been poorly treating their action cartoons on Cartoon Network. Except for when they've had them on, like, weekday Toonami, but those days are long past.
Wasn't Cybertron the one that came after Armada?
Well, it was Armada, and then Energon, and then Cybertron.
Okay, yeah. I mean, because they had Armada on Toonami. That's how I kind of sort of was watching Transformers a decade ago or whatever. I might have seen a little bit of Energon, but I don't think I ever saw Cybertron.
They did have all three of them on Toonami at various points.
Okay.
And Armada was, like, traditionally animated, and the other two were a mix of traditional animation and CGI. Anyway, I guess we've talked about Dandy pretty thoroughly here.
And I guess as of this podcast, since we're talking about cartoons, as of September, the last weekend of September, there's no more regular scheduling programming or regular schedule programming for Saturday morning cartoons on major networks.
Yeah, speaking of characters dying because of lost rights, Dragon Ball Z Kai ended on Vortex with Goku dying on Namek. Which I'm sure a lot of Dragon Ball Z fans wish that was the ending to Dragon Ball Z, because people are always griping about the Cell Saga and the Buu Saga existing. But
well, I mean, like, what's... I mean, has those other shows gone to other networks now? Like, has Nickelodeon picked them up or something?
Well, Dragon Ball Z is going to Toonami once Bleach ends. And okay. Nicktoons has Yu-Gi-Oh! Zaxxel and Digimon Fusion. So eventually those will air new episodes on there.
Okay.
But the other shows are all screwed.
I'm not even sure what the other shows were.
Original Yu-Gi-Oh! And Sonic X, but those have aired like for 15 years or so on Saturday
Yeah,
mornings.
I remember when Sonic X was on TV back when I was in high school, so yeah.
Yeah, those have been airing for ages, so it's not really that big of a loss, but it was kind of a tradition for those to be on every Saturday morning. They must have gotten ratings compared to the other Saturday morning shows, or they wouldn't have stayed on so long. I feel bad for kids that used to watch them every week, because now they've got this, their replacement is something called One Magnificent Morning, and 90% of the shows are about, like, farm animals, and the other shows are about exercising, so nobody
Thanks,
wants to
Obama.
Watch that. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Obama, for the FCC requirements and the EI requirements and all that crap. That's what's responsible for this. But I guess that's the way things are now, and at least we get Dragon Ball Z back on Toonami because of it.
I guess we have any final remarks on stuff, or what were you about to say?
Yeah, speaking of Dragon Ball Z, my final remark is going to be, I love that Goku quote.
Yeah, because he came back.
Yes, indeed he did. Super pissed at Blues Traveler. Gonna meet up with Pascal and smash some rocks together. And yeah, we're talking big rocks. Pascal is his friend in Ecuador. They smash rocks together for fun.
Well, there was that one thing where he was just like, guys, I didn't die. I fought many dogs or something. Why would you guys think I would die? I can never die or something like that. Because he was gone for 2 months on Twitter.
Yeah, he said that a dog bit him and he passed out for several months. It was funny.
That was it.
But now he says he's driven all of the feral dogs out of Ecuador with the help of Pascal. Let me find it. We have all but eradicated.
I highly doubt that, but
he says we have all but eradicated the feral dog problem. Dogs from all over Ecuador do a U-turn at our borders.
Wait! Like, does he even decline that the dogs know how to drive in Ecuador? Because I didn't see that crap when I went there, like, a decade ago on a missions trip.
That must be how they all managed to get to his house and attack him. They were driving there.
He got the dogs. Oh, no, it's Ecuador. We gotta go. I gotta turn my left turn ear signal on. Click, 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 click. And you just see him, like... Jeez. Oh, man. Well, I'm actually going to take something recently from our favorite locale, and it's the quote of the now on Sonichu.com that says, "And for every one of you sods who continue to mislabel me as a homosexual male or hint towards anything like that, even in a distasteful jest, you can all kiss my vagina of my soul."
Oh, God. Post the... No, they don't need to know about the unclit. That's something that's better not to know about.
Just, you people need to know that Chris Chan has been selling stuff on eBay so he can pierce parts of his body that do not exist. Just letting you guys know.
And that Kickstarter has reached a new low with his...
Yeah, he did a Kickstarter, and, like, it was shut down, and he brought it back up, and it's, like, for $50, he's gonna, like, draw on a Lego mark, like, a Lego block, and he's gonna send it to you, because you're funding his creation of making his own freaking, like, quickie mall out of Legos, and he needs $5,000 for it or something.
Yeah, he wants to create the Quickville shopping center from the Sonichu comics, which is a terrible idea, but people are funding it. That he's gotten donations times.
Where is the I'm trying to find the Kickstarter thing on the site now, so hang on. Oh gosh, I had the link and I'm not sure what happened to it.
Did you see the new video that he put up?
Yeah, I saw that. I kind of read the transcript and I just stopped halfway because it's just him like apologizing and
Oh, it's so pathetic.
Because his sweetheart-to-be didn't work out after like a week or like a month or something.
This is something that did not at all need to be public. Like, it's about some misunderstanding about his girlfriend going on a boat with another guy. And he spends 5 minutes apologizing to the guy because he thought that this was a date with his girlfriend or something. And
yeah.
His girlfriend, I guess, pulled the wool over his eyes and is now claiming that it wasn't a date. But does anybody really think she's not cheating on Chris Chan? I mean, would anybody not cheat on Chris Chan?
I don't... Well, I'm looking at the Kickstarter, and the amount hasn't moved since the last time I looked at it. And it's at a stifling $92.23. And he's got 15 more days to make up the remaining $4,800 or $4,900.
I can't believe he wants $5,000 to use some damn Legos to make a mall. Like, it doesn't cost that much. He has tons of Legos already.
Just, like, scale it down, dude. Like, apparently, like, on the video, there's a screen cap of, like, a fairly decently drawn, like, engineered schematic of, like, a building structure, like, a foundation things. Like, it's a blueprint. Like, on the, but if you click the video, it's, like, it's nothing but this professional at all.
He claims that he used his CAD degree that he earned in college to design the Quickville Mall. And then he'll show his blueprints, and they'll be like, he didn't even use a ruler, and it's all poorly drawn, and it's just like a disaster. So it's really funny that he's always bragging about that degree when he doesn't utilize it at all.
First of all, it was a certificate. A 1-year certificate. It took him like 4 or 5 years to get, or
yeah,
something. Because he was banned from college from 2 years or something.
Yeah, because he was using his attraction sign to try to get women, and then the dean, Mary Lee Walsh, suspended him for several years because of this. Because he was like, "You're a sexual threat to the women because you want them to date them or something." I don't know. Some feminist crap. And yeah. And then he made her the villain in his comic book.
And then people who decide to make Sonichu the animated series turn her into some hot girl or something, which you probably sporadically fap to every day. Knowing Chris Chan. Josh, do you have any final remarks?
Let's see. There was another Chris Chan post that he made. He posted, I guess he bought the new Sonic from Sonic Boom, like the figure. His post was, "Sonic's arms are not blue. You all continue to make me most angry with this most criminal changes in history ever. You either recall everything of this new Sonic Boom right now, or I will seriously not rip his arms off and seriously will watch you all at Sega die from this heinous of crimes ever."
Yeah, I love how overstated that is, and he's not going to destroy Sonic merchandise. Come on.
Maybe him and Mario the Plumber can get together and rant about Sega one day.
Oh, man.
That ought to be interesting.
I haven't heard from him in such a long time.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I bet he will have some new videos, though, once Sonic Boom airs next month.
I saw this Sonic Boom, and it's an F-bomb piece of F-bomb garbage. What the F-bomb?
The only good thing is Nigger Knuckles. I love his new design.
Jesus. Oh...
He's such a terrible person. I think he really is just a troll, though. I don't think he's serious with that crap.
Yeah.
But then again, he destroyed like half his basement, so maybe he does have
in
some
every
sincere
video?
Card rage. Yeah, I mean he's like tossing over couches and stuff. He's nuts. Maybe he's serious. It's just hard to tell with the internet when people are serious, yeah, and when they're just a total lunatic.
Well, I think I'm going to call this a night. I got to get up early for school in the morning, so.
Oh, it's like 1 a.m. where you guys are.
It's 1 a.m.
Yeah, it's only 10. Okay, well, I'm going to end the recording.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, it's working. Good.
Awesome.
Here's our weekly technical difficulty.
Maybe if we we should start a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo, so then like you can, you know, like use the money to get yourself a better Mac, and then we can record these podcasts. Otherwise, we'll have to threaten to shut our podcast down. Like, you know, not like other podcasts that do that claim to destroy other podcasts, DX and. Who cares? They don't listen to us. I don't even care.
How much money have we raised total so far over the PayPal?
I've still got $43 in our official PayPal account that is just sitting there, so we have that money.
Are you going to just use it to renew the domain name each year?
I might as well if it's there. I mean, because I was kind of wanting to use that on a soundboard or whatever. Not really a soundboard, but there's a certain – it's used as a soundboard, but it's something called something else. I can't think of the name. I'm stupid right now. But I would like to use that for my computer if there's a way to use it. But I just got to see my options.
Is it
there.
Like to make your audio quality better, or what does it do?
Well, I bought that mic back earlier this year, and I only used it once, and it did not sound good because it was hooked into my laptop. And, like, apparently Windows did audio detection and made it sound as crappy as possible.
Oh.
So, like, with a little – a mixer, that's the term. So if I got, like, a mixer and hooked up the mixer into that jack, I think I can balance out the audio better and make my voice come out more. And, like, it seems like I had a makeout with a mic just to make it sound at least decent. But, like, I don't want my lips to touch the mic that close or whatever. So
yeah.
I think with the mixer I can kind of, like, increase the input of – the audio coming into it, then having that mix out into the laptop mic out or mic input thing.
Okay.
But yeah, this isn't.
Well, we could try to get that funded on Kickstarter too.
I'll see. I'm hoping we get like a huge amount of listeners. That I'm kind of going by like if we get a lot of comments on each episode, that I can probably boost something like that. So. But that's neither here or there, but, maybe we can raise enough money to make the Ola, OA and fly into space and do all this crazy stuff in Space Dandy.